Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Standing Cat!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction. Hosted by J. Cat Morris, you are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer Max Fremont, and if there's one place to listen to on the internet every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Fremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus, God and baby, Jesus help us.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he's Danny Summers, the hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So, tune in next time, because fucking, yeah, Yakuza Kick radio.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I've been learning all the nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what
it's going on with you. This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It's Thursday, May 10th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. As always, here to do another show. Got my guest on tonight, even though he doesn't need any introduction, I believe I gotta give one. This is actually one of the dudes that I thought would be one of the first guests on the show that I ever had, because this is a dude that's one of the first people I was cool with from, you know, going to wrestling and all of that stuff. And I mean, what can I say? I mean, former junior heavyweight champion, tag team champion, former world heavyweight champion, you know, what else can I say, but,
he must bring the ruckus to all you motherfuckers!
Yo.
What up, baby?
Chillin'. So yeah, man, long time coming. Been wanting you on for a minute, but finally got you on.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, man, I do the same thing, I normally do, for those who don't know, and want to learn a little more about you and shit. Start out from the beginning, you know, where you got started, how you got into wrestling.
Well, you know, I used to do high school wrestling a lot. And from there, I did a little bit in college, and then I would used to mess around in the backyard with a bunch of my friends doing it. And I went and got trained up at a school called Brain Busters in Maryland.
Right.
From there, I used to travel around with Bob Starr, like Chad Austin, a couple of those guys up and down. Finally, hooked up with Zandig, and I was actually doing ring crew for CZW before I even got on the show.
All right.
And, from there, you know, it just popped off. Zandig put me on, and it just went on from there.
Yeah, a lot of people had said, too, on the early going to CZW, it wasn't as easy as it is to get in now. So, I mean, how did you get
possible?
Yeah, how did you get through to Zandig to actually let him, you know, give you a shot?
Well, before I was, me and Hurricane Kid, we used to bring the ring up to the CZW shows from Maryland. And, you know, we would always try to get on, but John wasn't just letting anybody on the show back then. So he just happened to be at a show we were on one night, and he saw us wrestle for the first time and saw the shit we were doing, and once he saw that, he was just like, yeah, you're on the next show. I'm going to put you in a deal with Rebel. So, just sparked not.
What was the first show that you actually worked?
The 99 in Smyrna.
in 99?
No, 2000, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was me, Dahmer, and Jeff Rocker, I think, in the three-way.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I, when I first met you, it was when I first started going in February 2001, and it was probably still in the early going when you was there and stuff, and it was like the Briscoes that just came up, and the SATs, and like all of them showed up like right around the same time. What was it like coming up around like those guys, you know, at the time?
Well, actually, I used to wrestle with the Briscoes before any of us got in the CZW, and they were real young back then. They actually started the same night I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I met the SAT, I'd say, halfway through the time I was in CZW. So, you know, coming up with those dudes was pretty good. And I think Mikey Wentworth was at SAT that one the first time I saw them. And they were all amazing. So, you know, it just popped off from there. Like, all those guys are really good. And coming in when I did with them, you know, I learned a lot just wrestling around with a bunch of those guys.
I mean, as young as they were and all of that, and I mean, you see what the Briscoes are now. Like, did you see that in them? That, like, that was, these cats are going to be the shit?
Oh, they were always good, man.
Yeah.
Like, they used to wrestle around at Van Hammer's. I used to go up to Van Hammer's house with them. And we were training up there down in Maryland. But they always had it in them, man. They, both of them are tough as a motherfucker.
Sure. And,
you know, they're just fun boys.
That Rebel angle you were talking about, I mean, how did that come up? And, like, I don't know, like, how did that whole thing go down? Because I got kind of mixed feelings on that shit, but.
It was actually pretty cool. Rebel was probably, was one of the dudes to help train me at the time.
Uh-huh.
And back then, I'd say it was right after the match I did with, right after my first match with CZW, actually. Rebel went out during his match, and he, you know how Rebel is. He said something about me, and Zandig heard it, and he goes, I can do something with this. We'll do that. And Zandig knew Rebel helped train me and everything, so he figured that'll work out.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they did that again, you know, in the later going and stuff like that, and we'll jump around, but, I mean, the only thing I had somewhat of an issue with, of course, is the work and all of that stuff. It's not like it's, you know, just, like they just blade it and hate crime and motherfuckers, but, the only thing I had an issue with is, like, when it turns into, like, the bad dude that's the racist guy, and all of a sudden the fans get behind them, and, you know what I mean, and then it's like, you get this weird feel, like, the your fans are yelling, like.
That's wrestling, though, man. Like,
I guess.
It's even worse down south, bro. But that's what people pay to do. Like, people pay to come and have fun, and it's, you know, being racist is their way to have fun. Fuck it, more power to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's good you got an attitude like that. I get angry.
Hey, they pay their money to do it, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's good to have a, you know, good attitude about things because, I mean, what else can you do?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, one of the first things that stood out, you know, when, you know, when I seen you in the ring, because I was new to indie wrestling, you know, Johnny and Trent put me on to, you know, come down here, check the CZW shit out. One of the first things I seen was like, who is this big-ass dude doing all these crazy cartwheel backflip joints? Like, I never seen nobody with no size on him doing the shit that he was doing. Like, was that just something natural to you, or is that, like, stuff you worked on, like, through years younger, or?
When I was younger, I was always able to flip, I guess. But, I guess I kind of started getting better at it once I started doing backyard wrestling with my boys. You know, watching Too Cold Scorpio, people like Jannetty and shit like that, that really made me want to do high-flying wrestling. And,
okay.
You know, I say at my peak, I was, like, 350 pounds.
Great.
And, you know, I was still able to do all that shit with no problem. So, you know, it looks real impressive when you got somebody that big doing all that shit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. How'd you get on and lose all that weight?
That was when I was trying out for WWE. They wanted me to lose weight, and you know, plus being that big, just not healthy at all. So right. I fucking, you know, just worked out a lot, dropped down. I actually got a little too small, but, you know, it is. I kind of got too small when I was working out. Yeah, but, like, you know, it is what it is.
That's cool. Like I said, I'm going to jump around a lot, and, you know, dates not really chronological or any of that, but somewhere along the line, you got down with a backyard wrestling game. How did that whole situation come about? What was that like?
Well, the dude that made the game, he actually wanted me for the first one, but at the time, I was doing other things, so I couldn't really get down to do it. And when the second one came around, he had already had me in mind because he had watched a bunch of my old backyard tapes. So we used to sell them on the internet like crazy. And he said he wanted me on from there, so he just pretty much put me on.
Well, I mean, how did the whole process go, you know, going and, you know, just what's even involved in being in a video game? I mean, you know, goddamn well, you never thought you was going to be in a video game as a kid.
Oh, fuck no. I mean, it was cool. Like, pretty much all they did was put you in a room. They took a bunch of pictures of you. Do a couple voiceovers. Then you got to, you know, act out some of your special stuff while you're wearing your suit. But, I mean, you know, I'm not real big on the technical aspects of what they were doing. But for my part, it was just, you know, taking a bunch of pictures, throwing a couple poses, voiceovers, and, you know, just hitting a couple of your signatures.
They didn't put you in one of them suits with the little white balls on it?
Oh, yeah, you had to wear one of them.
Shit.
I mean, it was a cool experience, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, I mean, that's got to be something you still reflect on, right? Yeah, I mean, now that you're a gamer
definitely.
And everything.
Definitely. It was definitely cool as hell.
That's good shit. Do you know if the dude still makes games or anything like that?
I'm not sure. I know the company still does. I don't know if they're making another one or not.
That'd be good to see with the new graphics and all of that shit.
Hell yeah.
The MTV show. What was your experience with that shit? A little half hour?
That was awesome. Probably one of the funnest times I had in the business, actually. They're real laid back down there. Guy Kevin Kleinrock, he's a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He actually hooked that up. Teddy Hart got me in on that. And, it was, 2 weeks we were filming. It was a new concept. The idea was awesome. They went a little over top with explosions and stuff. That wasn't really the guys behind putting it together. That was MTV. They wanted a lot of explosions and crazy shit.
Yeah.
But, given better marketing, it probably would have done something. But I thought it was cool. And the format was awesome. But it was a real cool experience for me because I never really got to do anything like that. So I enjoyed myself.
It was definitely weird to watch, you know, just seeing everything crammed in like that and just like all the spots and.
Yeah, man.
Like five definitely matches in a half job. Hour and shit. With commercials.
Hell yeah. It was some cool shit, though.
Yeah, I mean, I would have rather they gave him more time and stuff. It was great to see a lot of you guys just on TV like that, like out of nowhere. It's pretty much just all indie cats. So,
it was cool. They took a chance on it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if they were all in on it because
At the time that was actually going down, I know they had just fired a bunch of the executives that worked at MTV right before we were supposed to air. I know one of the main dudes that was in charge of the marketing for our show got fired. So it was, all over the place. That's a bad timing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about, one of the best feuds I think you ever had in, one-on-one matches and stuff like that was with Trent. And, you know, beyond even talking about that, Trent is an overall, getting to know him and all of that and your whole experience with him.
I mean, the first time I met Trent, it was at an indie show for Flex Wheeler up in Philly. And he was just a cool dude, man. He was always joking around and just had a bunch of cool, nice shit to say to you. But at the time, he was tagging with Billy Real. And when I got in, that was around when I first got in the business. You know, I was just wrestling mostly Maryland and Tennessee and stuff like that. First match I got to see in Philly actually was Trent versus Billy Real. That's probably one of the best matches I've seen back then. And even back then, he was real cool. So when I actually got into CZW, and I saw he was like one of the top dudes there, and how much better he got. When Zanday told me he was actually going to do a program with us, I was pumped. And throughout the whole, you know, program with the shit, you would think, because of the experience and the position he was in, he would have been kind of a dick about it. But
right.
He was cool right off the bat, man. First match we ever did, we just clicked. Everything went perfect, and we just worked real well together. And from that, I was learning every time I got in the ring with him. He just knew so much stuff. And he was always on point. Like, everything he did was on point.
Yeah.
And he started teaching me how to get my timing better and how to get my moves more crisp, how to work the crowd. And, you know, I give him credit for a lot of the things I do right now, because without him, I wouldn't know how to put the psychology together or the moves where they need to be, how to get the crowd to react the way they need to react. I learned all that from him, and I wrestled Trent at least a couple hundred times all over the place.
Wow.
And we always just worked real well together. The dude was perfect at what he did.
Yeah, for sure. How'd you take his passing?
Not good, man. I still miss that dude to this day, him and Cash. They're like my best friends. Yeah.
I hear you, man.
I think about that dude all the time.
Yeah. And Cash was another one. How did you, go about, meeting Cash, and like, how did that whole thing go?
Cash is my man. Like, first time I met Cash, he came up to me after the show and told me to come check out his backyard. Said. And he was just a cool kid. He would always come to the show, so I went and checked it out one day. And from there, we used to just hang out, man. Like, he was more like my brother. Like, we used to hang out all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then when he actually got into CZW, started training, I couldn't wait to do a feud with him. And, I mean, just outside of wrestling. Like, Cash was just, me and him would always be together. Like, that was just my man right there, man. And he was just all around, just cool dude. And in the ring, that dude was on point. Just like Trent, man, like, especially for as young as he was, he just had, he had the look. He was more energetic than I've ever seen anybody.
Yeah, intensity, that's for sure.
Yeah, you couldn't tire him out. He never got blown up in the ring. He was just one of those dudes that every night he was determined to have a match in the night, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just, like I said, just like Trent, he's just an awesome dude.
Yeah. I was on some other shit. I was thinking about this the other day.
What up?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think, other than Gage, I don't think any dude has worked more matches in CZW than you.
No, man.
And Gage, I got to say, you're probably catching up.
Man, Gage, let me tell you something about Nick Gage, all right? First time I met Nick Gage, he scared the shit out of me. He's just that much of an intense dude. And, you know, I just heard the reputation on him. I never really talked to him. And I was just at a show when it was actually Best of the Best One. It was the first time I actually met Gage and talked to Gage. Because he was in Japan a lot. And he just came up to me. I didn't even know who he was at the time. And he goes, that was some good shit out there, man. I never seen a guy your size flip around like that. And I was like, cool, thanks, man. He's like, my name's Nicky. And I'm like, oh, shit, you're Gage. He's like, yeah, man. And I was like, cool, nice to meet you. And he was like, all right. And he walks off and he goes, now I got to go kill this motherfucker. Just start dying laughing, dude. I think it was him and Edward DeBoer that night.
Yeah.
That shit was fucking hilarious. But, like, every time the first time I was told I had to wrestle with Nick Gage, I was scared shitless, dude. He's fucking crazy. But, like, he's actually one of my favorite people to work against.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a real intense dude. Nicest guy you ever meet.
Oh, yeah. And, he's definitely got that light switch.
Yeah, man. You know, when he needs to be, he's intense as a motherfucker, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking about the other day. I was like, damn, I mean, Ruggie's been straight from 01 or, you know, 2000 until now. I mean, that's, I don't think nobody's got that longevity whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it, too, man. There was a lot of guys in there before me that were putting it down. Like, nobody even gives Dahmer any credit, man. Dahmer used to be that dude, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, one of my favorite workers. Like, Dahmer used to go in there. Yeah, like, my first match, like, Dahmer got me over like a motherfucker, man. Like, he's another dude that a lot of people need to utilize more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always liked Dahmer, and he was always about putting over his students.
Yeah, man, and Dahmer was just
more so
cool
than
ass dude, man. And Dahmer didn't care about, like, getting the telephone over and shit like that. Dahmer cared about getting the company over, dude. And that's why I like Dahmer. Dahmer was a real motherfucker, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of people and owners and whatever, you know, ain't really like that.
Hell no.
Not to mention no names, but. Matt's a couple of years back, I showed this to a bunch of people and stuff. Again, I'm way off chronologically, I'm going to jump around. But Match Against Human Tornado. I showed people who didn't even like wrestling. They cracked the fuck up. I have people dying, like, 8 people who don't even watch wrestling, like, oh, shit. How did you guys plan that shit out and get that shit together like it came off?
Well, I met Tornado, when did I meet Tornado? I think it was 2003, over in California.
Okay.
And we just been cool as shit ever since then. I was trying to get him into CZW for years. And then finally one day I kept begging John to bring him in, and he did. And we're at my house. I think the night was 2 nights beforehand, and we were watching Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo. And, you know, we were in there fucking dying laughing, man. And I'm like, yeah, we should do something funny like this. I was like, it'd be different. And, you know, nobody's seen no shit like that yet. So Tornado can come up with some crazy shit, man. So he came up with this whole fucking routine. And, you know, we didn't know how it was going to go when we were going to go out there. So we just knew it was the entertainment. So, you know, we went out there and did it. And the crowd loved it. And, you know, we were feeling it from that point. So we just went balls up.
Yeah, that shit came off the hook. It's a blackout. How did the blackout come about? How did the whole thing come together like it did? How did you, you know, pick each guy to come into it?
All right, well, originally, it was kind of a work shoot type thing almost, because, Robbie got fired, and I just, like, pretty much I had done a lot in the junior division, and we were trying to push Sanjay in the direction at that point, so I figured I'd turn heel, but, like, Robbie's always been my boy. And I was like, you know, I need Robbie with me. And at first, John wasn't going to let us do it. He's like, you know, what's that going to do? Ring announcer needs your manager, doesn't mean anything. But Robbie, you know, Robbie's just smart as fuck when it comes to the business. So he had this idea, and originally it was supposed to be like a comedy thing, like a Puff Daddy, Biggie Smalls type thing.
Right.
But then, the heel heat that I was getting at the time was so good, and Robbie can get heat on whatever he needs to do.
Yeah.
So we figured we make it more serious, and we just use Zandig as the reason why we're doing all this. And we were just doing it originally just to see how it would go over. John wasn't really going to put much stock into it, and it wasn't going to be any other members at that point. But Joker and Sabian, I've been wrestling with them, and I pretty much trained with them a lot before we even got into CZW, and all we wanted them to get there. So I asked John if we can do that, and at the time, they were trying to get in it anyway. So John let us do it, and he said, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, every week, Robbie was just coming up with these ideas, and they all just started making sense, and it just started clicking. and we just figured we base the gimmick off of our actual personalities.
Right.
And it will work better that way. So if you look at all the characters that's in it, they're pretty much based on how we are in real life, just amplified. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody knows somebody like one of our characters, so everybody
right.
can relate to it.
Wow.
So, you know, it pretty much works.
So that was like the original John was, you know, you, Robbie, G's. At some point, Joker, I guess, came into it soon after, right?
Yeah. We got Joker and Sabian probably a month apart, so.
Okay.
And then once Joker went to the, had, got called in to go to Iraq, we got Eddie Kingston. Now Eddie's always been a cool dude.
Yeah.
And we knew that would work because, you know, nobody ever really let Eddie be Eddie. He was on the wild card gimmick at the time. But, you know, Eddie's got his own personality.
Yeah.
His real-life personality was a lot better than a wild-card personality. So we just told him, you know, go out there and be you, man.
Yeah.
And Eddie's a fucking card in itself. He's probably one of my favorite people in the business, period. And he can work his fucking ass off. I don't care what anybody says about Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston's not work a lot of motherfuckers.
Yeah, sure. Where'd Chrissy come in?
Oh, that was, I was actually in, I think, Germany when we brought Chrissy in. And Chrissy came in, originally as Niles' manager.
Right, right.
Then they were going to put Niles in a different direction. And Chrissy, her personality, real life personality, is hilarious. She's one of the coolest people I know. And we knew she would just fit right with her personality and her look. And, you know, when it comes to comedy stuff, Chrissy pulls that shit off perfectly. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we definitely knew that was a good move, just doing that in general.
Yeah, all right. Well, what do I want to get at, man? Italy. A trip to Italy.
Yeah.
What was that like?
The first one, I think it was just me and Trent. And we went over to do this thing called the Wrestling Gala as the sponsors, trying to see what fed they were going to bring in on a regular basis. They had a couple different indie feds send over wrestlers, and whoever had the best match got the contract.
Right.
And he had Bret Hart judge that. So he liked our match better than any of them. So we pretty much got that. And then from that point, CZW was just going over there all the time. I mean, I've never been to Italy or anything like that. I think I've been to Japan. It's the only place I've been so far.
Right.
And me and Trent got to go to Italy and wrestle. It was unbelievable. It was a whole new experience. The crowd was incredible. And, you know, Italy is just amazing just to go to in general. So it was a pretty good experience.
That was the first time you went over there again, right? And that was more cats you went over?
Oh, yeah, man. We went over, I think, a total of 3 times with the group, and me and Trent went by ourselves. So I think I've been there about 4 times.
Wasn't one of the times the whole shit with the Zandig incident go down over there?
Yeah, I think that was, like, the 3rd time we went.
What happened there?
We did the tour and everything. We did the show, and then at the end, when it came time to get paid, the promoter was not talking with Zandig and him agreed on. And, you know, John had to slap the dude up. And, I mean, you know, we ended up getting what we were supposed to get after that. But it was pretty funny.
That's the shit. John, you got someone backing.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to fuck with John. He don't take no shit from nobody.
Oh, I mean, a lot of promoters would have went over and, they would have turned back to you guys and said, hey, you know, they can't do it. And they would have took what they went and went back home, you know what I mean?
I know, John, Zander's probably one of the best promoters I've ever worked for. He always look out for me. He always takes care of me. So, got nothing bad to say about John at all.
Yeah, for sure. when you guys, speaking of you and Trent traveling and everything like that, that epic show in California, what was that experience like? It was one of
not a good one.
Maybe
not
two.
I almost died on that tour, dude.
Damn.
That's
yeah,
like the scariest trip I've ever been on. Like, we went over there, did our match. Somehow or another, there was a piece of metal sticking up out of the ring apron. And Trent DDT'd me on the apron, and the metal went directly through my head. And pretty much almost bled out in the ring. Had to get 50 stitches in my head.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, and I didn't remember, like, half the trip after that. So I wouldn't even be good to recall any of that.
Yeah, I just remember watching the shit on tape. And I think I still got the tape somewhere. And, yeah, it was like, you know, they had the whole Nick Mondo, Messiah join. It was like, you know, they were killing each other at the time, light tubes and the whole shit. Then you had you and Trent tearing up classic, you know, wrestling matches. And it was like, wow, these cats, he's bleeding like a motherfucker. These cats need all these light tubes and shit. But he took a DDT. Something's up, man. I was shocked as hell
scary,
watching that shit.
Hey, thank God I was wrestling Trent, because he took care of me the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even come off like a fucked up match or nothing.
Ah, nah, we still pulled it off. It was just, that was hard.
I can imagine. Let me see. Japan, your trip to Japan.
Oh, that's probably one of the great experiences of my life, man. Like, the first time I went, it was a big Japan. First tour was awesome. Things with Van Dyke, White Peter, and Van Hammer. Pondo. You know, Pondo, he goes all the time. So he had to hook up on everything. Anything you want to do in Japan, Pondo knew where to go.
Yeah.
The workers over there were pretty good. I had to work Men's Tail and a couple other guys on first tour. And, you know, we tore it up every night over there, man. Corrigan Hall. You know, that place is legend over there. I got the last one there. And that was one of the crazy experiences. And I know the second time I went, me and Trent wrestled for the junior title with Winger at the Yokohama Arena. And that's probably the biggest crowd I ever wrestled in front of. Well, I can't know. The biggest crowd was for All Japan when I was over there for that tour. And I wrestled at the Sumo Arena.
Okay.
And that was incredible.
Yeah. But overall, just, I mean, what was the culture like?
I mean, all the fans over there, man, like, they the kayfabe over there is heavy. Like, they believe in the heels and the faces, and the crowds over there are just crazy. You would, like, on tape, if you watch it, it sounds real quiet all the time and everything. But if not, man, when they get up for something, they get up for it, man. Like, those fans are just as rowdy as the ones over here. And they're real dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole culture over there, like, you know, first time I went there, it was like stepping into the future. Everything's all weird and all computerized. And they got a lot of stuff we don't have over here yet.
Yeah,
so, you know,
technology.
And, you know, just being over there, just a whole new experience, man. It was real fun. Everybody over there was cool.
When you they actually finally put you, you know, towards the, you know, going over and best of the best. You know, what was that like? Cause, I mean, it was a long time coming.
Oh yeah, man. Like every year, I would do it, and every year they would put somebody else over. And the 1 year, then they came up to me. He's like, you know, you're getting it this year, and just need to go out there and tear it up. And the people he put me up against, all those dudes were amazing. Like, Sabian was on the game that night. All the ROH boys that came in were great. Christopher Daniels gave me one hell of a match. I mean, you know, it meant a lot winning it because I've been there for so long. So that was a real good experience for me.
That tournament caught a lot of heat on the Ring of Honor guys really not, like, putting in half effort and shit like that. I mean, did you get any type of feeling like that while you were in it, or?
I mean, you know, not really. Like, Daniels, he was out there and gave me 100%.
Yeah.
Like, we had a great match. And, you know, Austin Aries and Claudio. Claudio never had faster than man. Claudio was probably one of the hardest workers I ever wrestled. And, you know, Austin Aries, he was a good worker too, man. He went in there and handled his. So, I mean, when I was in the ring with him, they were handling their business to me.
They had Sydal there too, but.
Oh, Matt Sydal was always awesome, man.
Yeah, nasty. I don't know. It just always had that like overall criticism on the tournament afterwards and shit.
I mean, everybody can criticize everything, if it's good or bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, another tournament that you were never really expected to be in on face value is Tournament of Death.
Oh, man. The first time I did Tournament of Death, I wasn't even expecting to do it. And then when they told me I had to
wrestle. Two-time Tournament of Death competitor Ruckus.
Yeah.
<Kind of shit. laughs>
Then they had me wrestle Nick Gage the first time.
G.O.D. veteran.
What the fuck did I do here? You know what I mean? But, you know, Gage took care of me. But the
that's
best
what, that's when you
Death
came
man.
Out in, like, the fucking bubble coat for the fucking.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
You had a hockey jersey on and shit.
Yeah, I never claimed to be a hardcore dude, man.
But nah, I don't blame you, man. I want no parts of that shit.
Yeah,
you do regular shit.
I
want no parts of.
Hell no. The best time I had was when we wrestled Zandig in the tournament. Me, Robbie,
yeah.
And Kingston. That shit was fun.
Yeah,
that was a cool
great.
Fucking match. So.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think, you know, when he said, hey, you know, you can be part of this shit now?
Oh, I was fucking scared shitless, man. Fuck that. Yeah, and, like, right before I went out there, that dude, Blood, I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, when he split his leg
wide open, man. I just saw that shit. I'm like, man, I got to go out here and do this shit now.
That shit was right in front of me. I almost threw up on this dude's leg.
Man, that shit was fucking disgusting, man. And, like, you know, I didn't want no
parts. I think
I've
seen it before
shit.
He did.
Yeah, man, that shit's fucking crazy. And I was like, yeah, fuck this. But luckily, you know, everything worked out for me in those things.
Yeah,
like,
the dude,
you know,
like,
I respect those hardcore dudes, man, because I can't do that shit.
Yeah. And a dude fell in that shopping cart. I looked at his leg, was like, oh, fuck. Then this dude looks down. He made it sound like Goofy falling off a cliff or some shit. But he's seen his own shit. I'm like,
oh,
yo, this cat is fucked up. I ain't never seen no shit like that. That was gross. I like death matches, but that shit is a little much.
Fuck yeah.
So, no three-time competitor in TOD?
Fuck that, dude.
Hey, man, no spots in the tourney. You get standby, you know?
Yeah, I'll just keep standing by.
Standby, watch that shit happen. So, the Chikara Trios joint that you guys got into and end up with up against the Ants, what was it like working for Chikara?
Oh, man, Chikara's awesome, man. It's like one of my favorite fans to watch. Quack puts on a great show, and that trio show was awesome. He called us, asked us if we wanted to be in it. You know, I was all for it. And that was probably, what happened that weekend? Oh, yeah, we had Ian Rotten's that same weekend. So we did the one night, flew out, did Ian's, flew back, and then finished the trio tournament. And that whole time, man, that was like one of the funnest tournaments I've ever been in.
Yeah.
Like, all those dudes go out there and put in 100%, man. They definitely do a good job.
Yeah, it's pretty good shit.
Yeah, the Ants are awesome. Like, I love working those dudes.
Yeah, they put on a good shit. You should have said Ian. How's it like working with Ian? I mean, he's got a million bad criticisms and this and that, but I mean, I've heard a lot of people say good things about him, but I mean,
working for Ian is what it is, man. You know what you're getting into before you even go down there. So everybody bitches about it. You knew what you were getting into before you went down there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ian can go either way sometimes. I mean, Ian never rip me off or nothing. Like, you know, he tried.
He never told you to get you next time.
No, he tried it. But I needed it that time. So, he always came through. I mean, I've seen him do that to people, but
yeah.
He never did it to me. So I ain't gonna shit on him.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, besides that, knowing what you was getting into, you went down there, it was just, you know, a good experience.
Oh yeah, man. Like I used to, Ian actually used to train some of the dudes up in Maryland back in the day. Ian's actually from Maryland, and him and Axel used to train down at the Gilbert School down here. So I knew him for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. ROH, they brought you in. They did a whole completely different thing with Vulture Squad, and I mean they took a mask off a jigsaw. They got you with smokes and got all sorts of shit going on. And I mean, how did that all go down for you,
dude? One day, I got a phone call from Gabe. He was like, "I know you and Jack are good friends. Do you want to come in and team with him?" And, you know, work is work to me. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. So I went in, and the first night was crazy. Like, my debut there, that's probably one of the biggest spots I ever got. Like, the crowd was nuts.
Yeah.
You know, me and Jack went in and did our thing. And, you know, early on things were cool. Like, we were having good matches every night. Money was always good. And, you know, it was just like, I think at the time I got real sick. I got pneumonia. And then Jack ended up getting his face broken by a tornado. And then this freak accident over in Japan. So we were out for a little bit. And then Jack ended up doing AAA. And I always didn't want to bring him back in because of the flight or whatever. So it ended up just being me and Jigsaw. And then they just had to throw in a bunch of tag stuff, like scrambles and just random shit. And then once Gabe got fired and they started, you know, redoing management and everything, they just revamped the whole thing. So, you know, it was what it was. It was a cool time. Got to wrestle a bunch of cool views, so.
Yeah, they pretty much scrapped that shit when management changed?
Yeah, pretty much.
What was it like with Smokes out there? I know when I first talked to Robbie, and Robbie couldn't stand him, and then Robbie ended up working with him, you know, in the future, and then, you know, he's cool with him now and all that, but what was it like working as obviously a completely different dude than, you know, Robbie who you were working with, cutting the promos
yeah, I mean,
and shit?
You know, Smokes is a cool-ass dude, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny as hell, you know. He's just crazy, man. Like, he's good on the mic. Like, having him at ringside, he cracks me the fuck up, dude. Like, he's just one of them cool, just one of them average cool-ass dudes, man. Like, you know, the thing with him and Robbie, you know, everybody's gonna, that's natural. But they cool as shit with each other, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Smokes is, you know, he's good at what he does. He's definitely entertaining as a motherfucker.
Yeah. He's
a cool dude, man.
Yeah, definitely. He's got a whole different brand than what, you know, Robbie's
yeah.
doing.
Yeah, man, Smokes is just Smokes. You can't describe him no other way, man.
Yeah. Now, you know, pre-TNA Sanjay and all that, you guys hooked up. You had a crazy feud back then, you know, everything from ladder matches, everything. Cash was involved with that. How did the whole experience go down with Sanjay back then?
I knew Sanjay when we were backyard wrestling.
Okay.
So we were, me and Sanjay always been friends before we even got trained. And I used to take him to shows with me, going around, you know, Maryland area, Virginia area. Then I kept talking to Zandig about letting him on the show. He used to come to CZW with me, John. You know, back then, wouldn't just let anybody on. Finally, let him on. And, you know, Sanjay went out there and killed it, man. John loved him from that point. And then I kept pushing, having us work each other, because I knew we would just have money matches all the time. And, you know, that's just how it went. He just put us in there together and let us do what we do. Sanjay's a great worker, man. Yeah. One of the best friends. Cool as shit. And just great. Like, he just knows what he has to do, and he does it well.
Yeah. Another guy that, you know, you mesh really well with, and I'm sure you have a good amount of history with, Derek Frazier.
Yeah, he's like my best student, man. I trained Derek in my living room.
In your living room?
Yeah, man.
How like, does that work? Yeah, high ceilings? What the fuck's going on?
Nah, man. Like, we used to train. I'd teach them the basics, and then, you know, I would take them up to the gyms. They end up opening a school in Maryland, another one. Actually, Blaine was it, actually. He came in right before they closed. And I would train him one-on-one all the time and just take him on the road with me everywhere. And, you know, we wrestled it that same way. And he's probably one of my best dudes to ever get in the ring with. Like, we try to come up with the craziest shits we can imagine and try to pull that shit off. And for the most part, we get it right every time. So,
yeah.
Derek's great at what he does, man. Really, really underrated.
Yeah. What do you think Derek needs to do to get himself, you know, to that next level?
He just needs to do what he does, man. Like, there's a lot of politics surrounding him sometimes. Like, people just want to hate on him, man. Like, the dude's good at what he does. He always has been good at what he does. And, you know, Derek's still doing his thing right now. I think he just needs to just focus on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I like to do it. I just, you know, I just think he needs to be put in, you know, a better position or something. Cause
yeah, I mean, and that's not the wrestler's fault. That's management, man.
Yeah.
Like, a fed's only gonna you're only gonna go as far as the promoter wants you to go. You know what I mean?
All right.
And some promoters don't get it.
Yeah.
Or some promoters just want to use dudes just to, for the mere fact that they're worth for free. They don't care about the quality of the matches or the quality of the show. They care about getting that quick buck, and that ain't how you run a fed, dude.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
that's, funny. That's most wrestling promoters. I'm not saying all of them.
Yeah. When you got your world title run, I mean, there was something completely different because at that point you guys, you know, you were completely heel. And, you know, up until that point, you guys turned heel, there really wasn't a lot of vocal out of you whatsoever. It was a lot of smiling ruckus and doing shit to pop the fans and really not a lot of talk. And then
because back then, that's what the fans wanted. Like, I really didn't need to talk because what I was doing was working. As a heel, you know, you got to change it up. I'm a better heel than I am a face. Always have been. But the moves and stuff that I do, heels don't do those moves. And even if I am a heel and not doing them, people still want to pop for them. So it's kind of hard for me to be a heel. So when I mostly do heel, you know, I'm more vocal and more, I should say, character-based. Like, I work off my character.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time that, I mean, because you were always doing amazing shit, but that was the first time that I actually saw, you know, the arrogance, the, you know, personality coming out to be like, yeah, motherfuckers, that's what's up.
Yeah.
And I like that shit. I mean, I thought it worked really well.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, it's pretty much what works at the time and how management takes it. As long as somebody lets you run with what you're doing and they don't try to put their own input into it, it'll work. John never put any input. He just said, go out there, do your thing. You guys know what to do. And, you know, when you got people like Sabian and Robbie and Joker, that shit ain't hard, man. Like, and Eddie, I learned a lot of cues from Eddie, man. Like, Eddie just knew how to talk, dude. And, you know, Larry Sweeney would help me out a lot. Larry Sweeney's probably the best on the mic, period.
Yeah.
Like, best to do it. The only person I put up there with him is Robbie. Like, Larry Sweeney knew how to be a character, and nobody's better on the mic than Larry Sweeney.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, you learning from people like that. Ain't no way your shit can be bad, you know what I mean?
All right. But, yeah, the whole thing, I mean, kind of came to a close, you know, with the whole world title at that Cage of Death match, I think it was Cage of Death, with Super Dragon. A lot of shit went wrong. What happened that night?
Well, that night I actually had the flu.
Yeah.
And I really didn't even want to wrestle because I could barely, like, stand up. I was, like, not really all there. And, I don't know, it was just a weird night, man. Like, the whole vibe the first time I worked with Super Dragon wasn't there. Like, he kind of didn't want to do anything. Like, I don't know, it's just a kind of an attitude type deal going around. I mean, I'm cool with him now. Like, we worked a bunch of times after that. But the first encounter, I don't know, it was just a bad encounter, I guess. I don't really know how to explain it. We both weren't into it that much, and I wasn't feeling good at all.
They have platforms all over the place and shit.
Yeah, and, you know, it was just not my night that night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everybody got their off ones. Yeah, I mean.
Of course, man, of course. Well, you know, one of the great, speaking of Cage of Death, what was it like being in the Cage of Death, Blackout versus Team Cash?
That was the greatest night ever, man. We had so much fucking fun. That was probably one of the funnest matches I ever was involved in. Everybody that was in that match that night came in there with the mindset of, we're about to tear this shit fucking down, bro. And we wanted to have the best Cage of Death match, period. And so we set out to do that. And I say the MVPs of that shit would save me in the Cash, because I've never seen a bump like that in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Sabian was dead, bro. Like, I've never seen somebody come on.
That Cash flow?
Yeah, that was insane. And, you know, throughout the match, like, Jack Evans, he went out there and put in 110%. Nate Webb, Kingston, Sexy Eddie.
Well, he came up a couple percent short on that flip. I don't know.
Huh?
He came up a couple percent short on that flip, but he did his thing, though.
Yeah, I was saying, man, that was just a fucking all around. That match was everything you can ask for in a cage match. Man.
Oh,
man, everything.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying, too. That the first time I had G's on was like, you know, a lot of people don't realize the shit that he went through. And, you know, I'll go right off of this into what I'm saying is, like, when you cats, you feuded with the Hate Club, I mean, they were throwing G's like a lawn dart. And he was just getting thrown and shit. And a lot of people don't realize the abuse that he went through. Now that they look at G's and all, you know, super heal and shit like this, that they forget about all the shit that he went through back then when they were popping for the bumps and the clotheslines and all this crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, people forget, man. You got to look at it. Like, you know, you got most fans that show up just for the mere fact to be an asshole, do you? Like, a lot of people hate on G's, man. But if you look at it, he one of the hardest workers in that company, period. He puts in his work.
Yeah.
And he puts it in all the time. Like, it ain't something that, like, you know, he just goes out there and half-assed it. All he does is work, man. And, you know, heel-wise, one of the best heels I've ever seen in my life.
Definitely.
But, you know, he gets hated on by a lot of people for no reason, man. Like, promoters, other workers. And it's just because, you know, a lot of them are jealous of him, man. He does what he does.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I mean, what was the whole, like, feud working with the Hate Club? I know you gauge him working with Gage, but.
I mean, they would go out there. I mean, I know those matches look super brutal, but those dudes were out there and, you know, they really looked out for us. And at the time, that was like our come up. Like, they really helped us get over it the way we needed to get over.
Mm-hmm.
And all those matches we did with them were just over as hell with the crowd. They loved it. Like, people enjoy watching us get our ass kicked every fucking match. And that's exactly what it was, man. They just go out there and run shop. And, you know, that's what the Hate Club does. And it just works. Like, I enjoyed that feud the whole time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was definitely hot shit. I mean, there's a lot of those tag team feuds that were on fire back then. They're lacking a lot of that shit right now in CZW, and just like to see some fucking tag team division in there to, you know, people give a fuck again.
Yeah, man, you gotta, I don't know, man. I really can't
Hop off wrestling for a minute. I'm gonna come right back to it. But I did some shit with you know, film wise with Billy Graham. What was that like?
Oh, nice. Yeah, Billy Graham's awesome, man. Like, he's a cool dude. I met Billy, he was cool. I know I was in a movie with him down in Pittsburgh called The Murder Collection, done by a guy named Fred Vogel. He made some brutal films, man. And, you know, I got to become friends with him, and I invited him to a couple of CZ movie shows. He ain't checked it out. He fell in love with it. And, you know, he asked me to be – he had a film coming up, and he said I'd be perfect for the role. So, you know, brought me down there. We filmed it. It turned out great. It's the first movie role I ever had, so that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a real good experience. You know, Billy's a cool dude, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a personal friend of mine, and yeah, he's a good dude. He knows a lot of different shit, from, you know, wrestling to horror movies to music. To, I mean, the dude's very multi-talented, so.
Oh, yeah, man, definitely.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, I guess I'll jump back into this, but now, you're a dude that, you know, you do the Black and Milds and all that, and all that thing. Well, it all came about, too, and I mean, you were doing it amongst where every bit of smoking got banned in every building. And, of course, there was the loophole, you know, where the entertainer, you know, if it's in entertainment purposes, you can get away with it. So how did, I mean, that whole thing come about where you're like, oh, I got this?
Yeah, those rules are fucking stupid. I ain't going to follow that shit. Like, the way I look at it is, I feel like, the way I look at it, like, I was told not to smoke in a lot of places,
yeah.
But, like, the way I see things is, you know, fuck that, dude, I do whatever I want. But I don't see the point in, like, you know, not smoking, I'm not hurting shit, so fuck.
Yeah.
And if they got something to say about it, I go, you know, it's part of my character. If you don't want me to do my character, then just say so. If not, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So how did the whole B-Boy Black and Mild spot come across? How did that come about?
I came up with that shit a couple of days beforehand. I just thought it'd be a cool spot. I think I was actually watching a fucking Jackie Chan movie when I thought of that shit. But I knew that shit would be funny, and you know, nobody's done it, like nothing like that, so you know, I always try to do some stuff that are, I always try to come up with things that are kind of unusual.
Yeah.
But entertaining. So, that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I definitely thought it went well. There's a lot of times that could have went bad in that sequence, but hold it together for sure.
And, you know, I try to bring something different to the table, because it's pretty much, you go to a wrestling show, you're going to see the same move a bunch of times, but pretty much the same match over and over again. So if you try to incorporate some stuff, you know, be the wrestling, but be entertaining, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do something different. Wrestling's supposed to be a spectacle on the show. And, you know, everybody's going to go out there and do the same thing. Everybody's going to wrestle. Everybody's going to be flipped. Do that, but put a little more stuff into it.
Yeah.
You got to do stuff.
Got to take a lot of risks.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, back, I'd say probably 2001, I mean, you did something that I ain't really see before. A lot of cats are doing shit now, but this was a bigger ruckus at the time, and also pre-Botchamania. You did the run up the wall moonsault and went through the wall.
Shit. Jody Flight.
Yeah,
how'd
that go like for you? I mean, it's crazy shit.
I haven't done for you tonight. I got you. Hold on 1 second, Jeff.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm following you. Yeah, like that match with Jody fights with the shit, and we both do that spot all the time, and I knew you. Like, when I met him the first time, he told me he liked that spot, and he wanted to incorporate that. So I was like, that's cool. And we did it earlier that day, a couple times actually.
Yeah.
But it was on the other side of the arena where the brick wall was. We had no idea that that wall was sheetrock. It was actually really thin. So if you were to go back and watch the tape, if you see it, I'd flip off the actual wall.
Yeah.
And then when you see him go after me and do it, he makes sure he posts off the steel beam of the door.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that was just one of those things that nobody was expecting. It's actually funny when you watch it later, though.
Yeah, true that. What, if you had to show, like, a scout your best match, what match would you show them?
Oh, man. I don't know that. Man, that's a lot. That one's kind of hard, man.
I know.
I'm in there with a lot of good people.
They're like, listen, I don't got a lot of time, kid. Show me one match. Show me why I should book you. Go. What do you do?
Fuck. That's hard right there.
Well, you know.
I really couldn't pick out one. Like, I don't know. I guess this is in a clutch. Maybe me and Trent's match from Cage of Death 3. All right. Maybe. Out of that,
they're going to be like, who the fuck is this? Dog, this isn't you. Look at this big guy. What are you? Why are you trying to be that guy?
That, actually, me and Claudio.
Okay.
From CZW. All
right.
That was actually a really good one, too. Well, see, I had so many matches, dude. Me and Reckless Youth had a really good match.
Yeah?
An awesome match, actually, but that was in Maryland. I don't think a lot of people saw that one.
I shit. You got a Fed out there.
Oh, yeah, man. RCW. Real Championship Wrestling.
How did that all come about? Breaking up a little bit.
A friend of mine from Hawthorne, he actually wanted to start an indie fed, and he asked me to help him out with it so he can get it started.
Yeah.
So me and Derek decided to help him out. And, you know, we bring in people like the Briscoes, Shima Zion, Nell G's.
Yeah,
we bring in people from all over, man. We got the Larius down there. Claudio comes in. I got Two Cold Scorpio, Jerry Lynn. Got a lot of guys to come do it all the time. You know, we put on a great show, man.
That's
it. Like, it's all based out of Maryland. And, you know, it's just a fun time. It's not like all the other indie shows. It's, you know, fans, the wrestlers, everybody. It's just always intense, man. It's just a real fun show to be at.
What would you say is the big difference between that and other indie shows?
We don't really do a lot of bullshit in it, man. Like, you get straight wrestling, it ain't a lot of talking. You get to see matchups you wouldn't see on most other shows. And, you know, all together, it's just, you know, good family entertainment. A lot of high flying. You know what I mean? A lot of storylines. We got all kinds of characters for the kids and stuff. It's kind of like Chikara mixed with, I don't know, maybe like Dragon Gate or something. We use a lot of the younger guys in the business or the new up and comers.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a pretty good show, man.
That's it. What were some of your favorite matches, you know, coming up before you actually got into wrestling that, you know, really pushed you towards wanting to be a wrestler?
I think the first real match I saw that I was really into was probably Flair Steamboat. That feud was awesome. The first match that I really got into, I think one match that made me want to be a wrestler was probably Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect from Survivor Series.
Alright.
Match was unbelievable. And, like, you know, that match had a whole lot of different elements to it. Like, you never really see people pop the way they did when Bret won that match that night.
Yeah.
Seems like a whole different atmosphere than it does now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, it's just stuff like that makes you remember you know, how great wrestling can be.
Yeah. Well, who were some of your inspirations? I know you kind of quick mentioned them before, but, you know, guys that you watched, you know, back then and was like, you know, this is the shit. I mean, the way they went over, got over, did shit in the ring.
I mean, you know, I like a lot of characters, man. Like, you're a good character, you can pull that shit off, I'm into it. Like, coming up, I was real big into fucking, you know, Michael Jannetty. Like, Jannetty's, like, one of my favorites. Scorpio. First time I ever seen Scorpio, I was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I've never seen no shit like that.
Yeah.
So he really inspired me to do a lot of things. Like, I really like Scorpio. It was just the innovation. That dude was doing shit I've never even thought could be possible at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that really changed the game for me right there, seeing him do what he did. You know, there's a lot of guys. Like, you know, X-Pac, he would go out there and put it down all the time. Mysterio, Benoit, like all these dudes, man, they were fucking incredible. You couldn't help but
watch it. True.
Yeah, it's like it was like a whole different class of wrestling. It's like watching like when you watch ECW the first time you ever seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This makes you wanna be involved. It was real good experiences back then.
What are some maybe dream matches that you got now that you haven't gotten to work yet?
Well, I just got to work with Jannetty. That was cool. So I could scratch that one off, I guess. Scorpio. I really want to work Scorpio one-on-one.
You worked Scorpio before, no?
Nah, I did a tag match with him before. I never got to work him one-on-one yet. Yeah, I would really like to do that. What else would I have? Yeah. I like to work Hooven too once.
Hooven?
I like a lot of his work.
You that'd subbed cool. in for him?
Yeah. that'd be cool to do. And, I don't know.
Right.
I really wouldn't say, like, dream actually. Like, a lot of guys I really would like to work either on around anymore or not here anymore, so.
All right. Some other stuff you do. Modding the Xboxes and the game systems, and how did you even get into doing that shit?
I like to read a lot, you know what I mean? I read a whole lot. I love electronics, so I keep up on all that. And I really all started, my friend had an Xbox. He had it doing all this crazy shit, and I was asking how he did it. And for some reason, he wouldn't tell me, so I was like, fuck it. So I figured it out for myself after a while. Then it just became a hobby. Then I started getting real good at it, and it's a lot of money in it, so I just figured, fuck it. So I started an actual shop, and I do a lot of that, man. Like, people are coming to me to get crazy shit created. I can create pretty much anything, so it's worth it, dude. Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like such a huge leap from, I mean, what you know, wrestling and all of that is just a whole different ball game. I mean, you're doing shit that's, you know, I mean, you got to have measurements to the T. I mean, you need to know how to build. You need to know how to work electronics, the whole shit. You seem to cover the whole board. I mean, did you have background in all that to begin with, or?
Nah, man. I taught myself everything I know. Like, I've always been big in the computer, so. I do, like, hacking and shit like that. Like, I'm down with all that shit, so. You know, I write code, build, electronic shit. Anything you need, I pretty much know how to do it all.
Nice. What do you think was the illest mod you ever done thus far?
Say that one more time.
What do you think was the illest mod you've done thus far, the coolest shit you've done?
Actually, I'm working on a table right now. That's pretty fucking crazy. It's
even just plain system mod, like not even getting into the arcade shit you're doing yet.
Just a regular system mod.
That seemed like the Halloween shit was off the hook. Played a Michael Myers theme, the fucking light up Myers face and shit.
One of the first consoles you ever saw that you hit the open button, the music plays. Like, I invented that chip, like, a year ago. So, like, yeah, that's pretty crazy shit. I like to do things that, I like to take things and make them do things they shouldn't do, pretty much. Like,
yeah.
Right now I'm working on a custom build for a customer. It's actually a wrestling ring that has a PS3 built into it. So that's really pretty crazy. I'm going to have it online probably a couple weeks, so.
That'd probably be one of the craziest ones I've done so far. I got a call right here. Let me see if they got a question for you.
All right, bro.
Yo.
Hello? Oh, what's up, Jay? Sorry. I was just listening, dude.
Oh, shit. You got a question for Ruckus? I'll put you back on hold.
I do.
Go ahead.
I do. You know, how long you been in the gaming, dude? Because I've seen your creations and everything with the whole, like, the Street Fighter arcade and everything. Like, how long did that take you to do?
On average, maybe 4 days to a week top.
Oh, damn. And can you do that to anything, like the old, like, 8-bit?
I can do it. Anything you can think of, I can do, bro.
Worth. I like that. See?
Yeah, cool. You pick it up, I'll make it happen.
I'm about to hit you up with that, too, because I got a Nintendo sitting here, and I need to be done.
Yeah, man, you're thinking something crazy, girl. I got you.
All right, baby.
I'll put you back on hold, Juan.
All right, man, thank you.
All right. Yeah, man, but that crazy arcade shit you building, I mean, that's some shit, man. I seen the coffee table. I don't even know how you play that shit, man. You got to be popping out.
Yeah, man, that's some wild-looking shit, man.
I mean... What's the coffee table for, motherfuckers looking down, or
that's just something that you walk in and you see it, and you're like, what the fuck?
And you're like, you're breaking free, you don't want to miss the game.
Yeah, see, there you go. You're taking the uses for it already.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got one on the wall, but I'm doing shit on the table so I can still watch this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. That's some crazy shit you be coming up with. I just like, I don't even know why you're doing this shit.
Yeah.
The fucking iPod touches is fucking remotes for shit and all sorts of.
Yeah, man. If you're going to do it, you got to do it crazy, man.
Guess so. I mean, overall projects, what was the craziest shit you've done? Go ahead with that. Go ahead.
I don't know, man. Like, that table's pretty fucking crazy. Wait,
right now.
I actually made a arcade machine that had a 3D projector in it for a company.
Damn.
Yeah, so that shit was pretty wild.
Like
I said, man, I just, you know, people come up with some crazy shit, and then, you know, I just bring the life on.
Apparently. Well, what's the size TV you fucking with at this point? Because I just keep seeing the numbers fucking get going up and up, and I stop paying attention.
What size TV am I fucking with?
Yeah.
You mean my personal TV?
Yeah, I know you had some kind of theater at some point.
All right, well, the theater, I got a 150-inch screen.
That's all.
And it got a 3D projector built onto it and shit with a fucking Bose surround system.
150, huh?
Yeah, my TV, I got a 42-inch 3D ready TV, so that's just pretty crazy.
What kind of room do you put 150-inch anything in?
Man, like, have you seen the picture of it?
I've seen the TV. I don't see the fucking room. I mean,
it's got to be deep. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty big, man. It's pretty crazy.
That's just bananas. But, I don't know, man. That shit costs a lot to, you know, put out those type of things, like the mods you do?
Nah, man. Like, most of the stuff I do is on commission. And, you know, the shit I do for myself that I'm just fucking around with, you know, that shit don't cost me that much to do. Most of the shit I do people end up buying it, like, instantly. So, I don't really get to keep much of the shit.
What do you cut the top of a PlayStation or a fucking Xbox with?
A Dremel tool. Do it all by hand.
All of that shit with a Dremel?
Yeah, man.
It's a lot of detail.
A lot of patience.
Apparently, I ain't got no fucking. That shit was fucked up. I put my hands on some shit with a power tool. That shit would end up. I'd fucking give it the rest of it to you for parts. It's like, here, man, I'll fuck this shit up. But, all right, back to the. What are you thinking of the new Blackout?
I mean, it's cool shit, man. Like, Alex Cologne, man. He a fucking workhorse, dude. You go out there and put his time in. He's going to be one to look out for. He really, really coming into his own right now. And he really putting in some work.
Yeah.
And, you know, Richie's, what can you say about Richie, man? He's fucking incredible.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
I think, I think CZW completely missed the boat on him. Even though they were using him, they weren't using him heavy. And, you know, they put him in a faction right before he went on severe Japan tour. It was kind of crazy, but,
yeah,
I mean, the dude's a fucking future.
Yeah, man, Richie's probably one of my favorite people. He's real down to earth, got his head on his shoulders, and, you know, his in-ring work speaks for itself, period.
Yeah. Now it had, a couple weeks ago, and I knew nothing about the situation or anything like that. I had on Eric Tapp out a couple weeks back, and owner of PWS, and someone asked me to ask him, you know, why he won't book Ruckus and shit like this, and he said, you know, there was some shit that went down. He was like, the company ended up in the hands of Jack Sabbath. In the midst of that, you got booked and then not paid, and then there was blame put on him and stuff like that. And he was like, honestly, I don't got no problem with Ruckus whatsoever. He's like, you know, if it was me, dude would have got paid. He's like, and there was a lot of different, you know, this was said here and this was said there. He's like, but he's like, I don't know how people are feeling. He's like, I don't have any problem with him at all. I mean, what's your feelings on the situation? All
right. Here's the thing. First off, Eric Tapp has always been straight out with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, he's cool, dude. To this day, I don't have a problem with Eric.
Yeah.
My problem was, at the time, was that I was booked. Well, they called me. I worked for Eric before, so, you know, I didn't hesitate to take the booking.
Right.
But he booked me, and then the day of the show, they canceled the show. And that was the first time.
Right.
Now I let that go. That was, you know, whatever. It happens. Now, another time he calls me, and he booked me, and it was on a day, I think, of Tournament of Dust. And I left Tournament of Dust and headed up to the show, and that's when he called me when I was halfway into New York and told me the show was canceled again. And I'm like, you called me, like, while I'm on my way there and told me it canceled? So, you know, I was like, well, that's cool. You still going to pay me? And he told me, yeah. So I'm like, all right, cool. So, yeah, I was waiting, never got it. So, you know, a couple weeks go past, I call him back and ask him what's up. And that's when he was telling me about the Sabbath thing. And I'm like, I don't know anything about that. You're the one who booked me, so, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever going on with that has nothing to do with me. I just want to get paid.
Right.
And, you know, long story short, you know, never happened. So, it just was what it was from that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have a problem with Eric. Like, I'll still work for Eric or whatever. I guess it was just a big misunderstanding. But, you know,
that's what
I was going to
ask you, too. Because, you know, the big question was, you know, asked, you know, through somebody else that I asked him was, you know, why don't you book Ruckus no more? And he more or less said, like, it was a huge misunderstanding. There was a lot of different things that went on. He's like, you know, personally, when I dealt with Ruckus, he's like, I never did anything wrong. He's like, there's some shit where other people were handling a lot of business within the company. I pretty much turned the shit over to dude. He's like,
I mean,
and that's
see,
when shit went wrong.
But in that situation, how am I supposed to know what's going on behind the scenes? It's not my company.
Nah, I
hear you. Yeah, so, you know. I mean, as far as it goes, the way I see things, whatever, misunderstanding, it's over now.
Yeah.
Eric's a cool dude. Like, he never did anything wrong to me, so, you know, still cool with Eric.
Yeah, that's cool. Because you know, I'd like to see you work there. I'd like to see you work a lot of fucking places because, you know, you're a great talent. So, you know, I just at least want to, you know, convey the message that was put across a couple weeks back because you more or less said, shit, only reason I wouldn't book him because I don't want to catch somebody else's heat. Other than that, shit, I'm good.
I know, I'm good with Eric. It's all good.
Cool. What are, at this point, what are your goals?
I don't know. I don't really look at life like that, like goals like that. Yeah. Things happen.
I mean, everything you've accomplished, you've been to Japan, you've held world titles, you've done this and that, and a lot of the people who have answered that question have answered
Hold on one second. Let me move into a different spot because I'm leaving you. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you. So what I was saying is a lot of people I ask that question to, they give me answers, but the answers are stuff you've already done. So that's what I'm saying. Like, for what you've already accomplished, what would you still like to accomplish that you haven't yet?
I don't know. I've pretty much done what I really wanted to do. Like, when I first got into business, I didn't really look at wrestling as I got to accomplish this certain thing. I just looked at it as, you know, I always wanted to wrestle. So my first pro show, I was ecstatic, man. That was like my goal right there was to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Whatever came from that, pretty much, I always thought, you know, it is what it is. I never really aspired to go to WWE or even go to Japan for that matter. I just wanted to be a wrestler, so I just let things go the way it went. But as far as goals go, I mean, you know, I guess stay alive for a while and enjoy life, I guess. I mean, it is what it is.
Turn this whole world into a fucking computer screen that you can play Xbox on.
I mean, I just live life one day at a time, man, you know. Whatever
the world.
It's all good.
Another question, answer it how you feel right by doing so, but what would you say the big difference between working for Zandig and working for DJ is?
I don't know, man. Like, things are different with both offices, I guess. Zandig was more like a dad to me, I guess. Like,
yeah.
You know, he always looks out for you and everything. I mean, DJ's cool. DJ's doing what he got to do, like, he's handling this business. I mean, it's not easy just taking over a company like CZW and having everything just fall into place, but he's doing what he got to do, so,
yeah.
You know. I mean, they're both cool dudes. Like, I helped DJ when he first got into business. We used to take him to shows with us and get him on
things.
So DJ just, you know, he's been cool.
Is that crazy, though? I mean, to...
Oh, it's definitely
more or less
crazy.
Help put a dude on, and then next thing you know, that's the boss.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's cool. You know, things crazy like that sometimes.
I mean, it's got to be a crazy transition, whether you're cool with it or not. I mean, there's got to be some shit at the end. You're like, damn, this is weird as fuck.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely weird, but, you know.
It is what it is.
DJ doing what he got to do to keep the shit afloat, so. You know, as long as the fans keep coming out and keep supporting, it'll always be there.
I hear that. I think I've more or less had a question. Before I get you off, you could hit me with a. You know, I gotta ask you for it in that light, because like I said, I don't hear too many face ruckus promos. You gotta hit me with a heel ruckus promo for Yakuza Kick.
All right, yo. Alright, motherfuckers, it's your boy Ruck. I'm chilling here on Yakuza Kick Radio with my boy J-Cat. He always bringing the heat, and he always bringing the hot shows. Keep tuning in, motherfuckers. Peace.
Good shit, man. Anything you want to plug, promote? Anything?
You know,
shout out?
Come check out the CZW show this weekend. It's going to be a crazy-ass no-roll-ball-wire match, so that shit should be hot. I'm going to be at the next couple of stream reunion shows. you come down to Maryland, check out RCW, peep on RCWWrestling.com, and, you know, check out my Facebook, Twitter, see some crazy-ass mods, keep up on the wrestling shit. Other than that, you know, everybody stay safe out there and shit.
Good shit, man. You know, thanks for coming on. Hopefully have you on in the next, you know, couple years or so.
All right, baby.
Random on two. Finally got you, though. It's all good,
yeah,
man.
And you make sure you keep safe and shit. Keep them fucking kids safe.
Oh, you know, man. Come on. They've been alive this long. They straight. I got this. I got a tag team and a singles over here. You know what I mean? Holding it down.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, man. You stay up. I'll see you soon. All right,
baby. All right, buddy. All right,
thanks, man. Peace. Yeah, so there you go. That was Ruckus. I'm going to take a break, play a track right quick, and I'll be back with some more shit talk. All right, there you go. DJ Drama!
Yeah. Dramatic, nigga. MMG, nigga.
Flexing on these bitches, I be flexing on these bitches.
deal. So, all right, check it out. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about. You know what? I just seen some people post. I ain't gonna give them name recognition, but most people probably know who I'm talking about if they know who I'm talking about. I can't understand why motherfuckers would even be jumping up and down, you know, talking about the Sixers or going on to the next round. I can't even understand why people would take them seriously, give them, you know, enough, you know, press that they decide to give themselves, because it's undeserved. If Rose didn't go down in fucking game one, y'all wouldn't be talking about your Sixers going to the second round, period. And it's not a personal attack on a certain stripe-wearing Sixer fan. It's the fucking honest truth. The Sixers are not a second-round playoff team. They're lucky they're in the playoffs. They're a fucking 8 seed. The Bulls were not a 1 seed as a fluke. But, you know, Rose was a good amount of fucking reason why they were the 1 seed. So the fact that they ain't in the playoffs no more, you just call that a blessing. And let's not pretend like, oh who's next? Oh, who are we taking out next? Well, dog, you know, I'm a Heat fan. So do you run into the motherfucking Heat if we get past the Pacers? Pacers are a badass team. You know, they're a more slept-on team than a lot of the different teams out there. You know, we beat the Knicks because that's fucked the Heat do. The Heat beat the fucking Knicks. And any little Knicks fan, sorry, but that's what happens. Y'all lose in the playoffs, you know. Now, next year, y'all could go out there and you could try to be the best team in New York, because now you're going to have another one in there. And, you know, a lot of people just put out there, no way are we not going to be the best. That'll never happen. Oh, so the Nets have never been a better team than the Knicks? Yeah, I would argue with that. So, I mean, y'all have your own battles to fight, and that's fine. There's no problem. You know, let's hope Amari Stoudemire doesn't punch a fucking fish tank or whatever the fuck he gets into these days, because he gets angry because they lost and shit like that. And that's, you know, that's his own issues. Maybe he needs therapy. Either way, he has a whole offseason to do that shit with. So have fun, buddy. But either way, the fucking Sixers ain't going nowhere in these goddamn playoffs. Are you kidding me? Fuck Sixers. Yeah, fuck every team in Philadelphia. Yeah, straight up. I don't watch hockey, and I don't watch baseball. Fuck them, too. I don't give a shit. So, that's just me. But, yeah, so there's that. Who else do I got? Oh, another shit. All right, let me... you know what's fucked up? I found it crazy, because I watched the Mayweather fight. And I shit. Going into the fight, I noticed some shit. Anybody that's even remotely part fucking Latin, anybody that had like a Latin mailman and shit, their fucking Cotto was gonna beat the living shit out of fucking Mayweather. Anybody that seen a Latin dude that morning was like, fucking Cotto's killing him. That's it. You know, I don't know nothing about undefeated, but this motherfucker right here. And then they waving flags and they, you know, Puerto Rico stand up and everywhere else stand up, and the motherfuckers was flying flags, and, you know, the motherfuckers was probably on a chair about to get tatted up for this fight and shit, just because of Cotto and everything, and it's weird as fuck, and it was just like fucking race war shit. Like, anybody of a certain color was like, nope, Cotto's winning, and that was it. It was like, I don't know if any of y'all looking, but the dude hasn't been beat yet. And you might not like him because he's cocky. You know who else was cocky? Fucking Muhammad Ali was pretty cocky. People had to deal with that shit, didn't they? And Muhammad Ali caught a couple losses. So when it comes down to it, I don't give a fuck how cocky Floyd Mayweather is. He handles his fucking business in the ring. Oh, he's ducking Pacquiao. He's ducking Pacquiao. I mean, y'all able to find one motherfucker that the dude hasn't fought and be like, this is why he doesn't mean shit to me, because he hasn't fought that guy. Shut your ass up. Joe, tell me how your favorite boxer is that much better. Yeah, start a short novel on how your favorite boxer is that much better, on why you can respect somebody else that much fucking better, because they have obviously accomplished much more than fucking Floyd Mayweather. I mean, yeah, he's fucking arrogant. Yeah, he kind of earned that a little bit. Probably. You might not like the motherfucker. You probably don't want to be around the motherfucker because he's that arrogant. I wouldn't want to be around a motherfucker. He ain't going he ain't gonna treat me with no type of respect. But when it comes right down to it, is he probably the best pound for pound boxer right now? Yeah, fucking hands down. Sir, it's you can hate, but that's all it is hate. Ain't legit. It ain't reality. It ain't where you could go, this guy's gonna beat the shit out of him because I don't like him. Well, good luck with that shit, because he fucking dominated dude for fucking 12 rounds. And, you know, some people want to lopside that scorecard. You know, I heard some different things. Oh, you know, I went to the fight, and I was there, and we were trying to say, and I had him like 7-3, and then all this, get the fuck out of here. Dude dominated the shit out of him. Cotto threw a lot of fucking punches, but Mayweather deflected 90 fucking percent of that shit. He took that shit. Cotto would have knocked the majority of motherfuckers out with what he put out there that night. Not Floyd, because Floyd's a fucking pro. And that's exactly why the fuck Floyd is what he is. That's exactly what makes him what he is. He does not have to go in there, stand on the one dude's toe, and then just punch each other in the face until somebody falls. The motherfucker's straight up. Like, he pretty much backed himself up to the ropes and let him throw every fucking thing he could and tire himself out. Well, a lot of what Ali did too, you know. And he landed some shit himself. And he landed more key punches than Cotto did, with Cotto throwing probably 3-4 times the punches. So let's be real. You know what I mean? Nobody got robbed. Nobody should be surprised or anything like that. It's the same shit Floyd been doing for years. And he's been knocking motherfuckers out in the past with the same technique. This guy, you know, wasn't the guy to get knocked out just that quick. And, yeah, Cotto's good. I ain't gonna shit on him or nothing like that, but fucking Floyd was clearly better. 100%, just like Brent's saying in the chat. Floyd was clearly better. Better boxer altogether. He handled that motherfucker like it wasn't even an option for him to lose the fight. And that's why Floyd Mayweather is Floyd Mayweather. Money. And that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. So, on a side note, I thought it was hilarious, his fucking entrance with, you know, the dude's got like 85 titles, and he's got 50 Cent, Triple H, Justin Bieber running out to the ring, fucking carrying motherfucking belts. The motherfucker is like his caravan, like when they have camels and like peasants and shit carrying like the motherfucking shit through the desert when they're like kings or whatnot. Yeah, it's that kind of shit. It's pretty funny. But yeah, the dude can handle his shit. And yeah, even if Brent's saying in the chat, you know, Triple H without an arm injury, mind you. Yeah, I know. I mean, come on. He should have. What was he gonna work that? He's gonna look like a half a cripple coming down to the ring with fucking the champ. So anyway, I don't know. Even if Pacquiao is the one fucking dude on the planet that can beat this guy. Oh, well, now he ain't shit. Be fucking real. Be real. You know what I mean? Like, you could take your side in Ali Frazier, but you can't call the other guy in the fight a piece of shit. You can't do it. It's not, you make yourself sound like an idiot if you're like, fuck him, he ain't shit, Cotto, kill him, like. Well, Cotto didn't kill him, and now the first thing out of everybody's mouths with their Latin flags is Pacquiao. Like, all right, I get it. Pacquiao's nasty. I get it. It's not a race side for me. I ain't either one of these races. I'm just saying from what I see, yeah, it would be a great fight. Yeah, it's fucking, you know, everybody wants that fight. I do, too. It's mine. I don't give a fuck who gets knocked out. But when it comes down to it, yeah, those are the two best fighters. The one that loses is still the second best fucking fighter. And shit, Mayweather loses once to fucking Pacquiao. That doesn't make Pacquiao better, because Floyd's beat motherfuckers that beat Pacquiao. I mean, the bottom line is, like, you're splitting hairs when it comes down to it. When it comes down to that, and people want to try to call Floyd now what he's built up to be, you're splitting hairs. Because what is that? That's crazy, man. His fucking reputation speaks for itself. So that's my boxing talk on Yakuza Kick Radio. Suck a dick, haters. You know, have a chimichanga on me. Give a shit. You know, what can you do? So anyway, I regret to inform all of you that give a shit, I'm not going to be at CCW on Saturday. And it's not because of CCW. I just clearly could not find a babysitter. And, you know, I'm not about to find some random person I never met to watch my children when it comes down to, you know, my entertainment. That's not some shit I'm going to do as my kids. It means a lot more to my entertainment. And it sucks. And I really, really wanted to be there. At first, honestly, I got to be completely honest, they did not have a good enough car for me. And Drew and Danny is going to be a crazy fucking no rope barbed wire. But you're flipping the coin. I mean, there's going to be a lot put into it. There's going to be a lot on the line. There's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot that's going to go into it. You know, and honestly, it will probably turn out to be really good. But a lot of risk. You know, Drew not being a deathmatch guy. You know, and Danny being the deathmatch veteran, Drew being the better wrestler. I mean, there's a lot of variables where the match could come off really awkward. But as of last week, all they had was that book, main event, no rope barbed wire. And then they had 13 Lucky versus, well, last week it was Rory Mondo. And I just realized now Ruckus, my tonight's guest, which actually makes it better. Well, last week it was 13 versus Rory Mondo, and they, you know, they billed this the Ultra Violent High Flyers, so I guess they scrapped the title of that match. Well, Ruckus is two-time Tournament of Death combatant, so shit, don't count him out on that. We'll keep the title up, motherfucker. How many Tournament of Deaths Lucky been in? That's right. You know who's hardcore now. But anyway, then they had Latin Dragon, Shane Strickland, and Alexander James. So those are the three matches they had as of last week, like a little over a week away from the show. Like, dude, that's not good enough. I don't give a fuck what you guys are thinking on that side of shit, but that's not good enough. Then, since then, they've signed, and here's why, it's shit, I would really like to fucking go. And Jesus, wow, they switched a lot of shit. From like yesterday, they switched a lot of shit because I didn't see that yesterday. And then another one I didn't see yesterday because it was going to be Matt Tremont versus Joker. Now it's Matt Tremont versus Greg Excellent, replacing Joker, who will return to CZW soon. Huh. Alright, so then we have Dave Crist versus Jake Crist in the Wire Championship rematch. And this is going to be another phenomenal match. I've seen a couple comments of people saying that, oh, they've wrestled enough. Who wants to see another one of those? I do. I fucking do. I'll tell you that much because those two put on a great fucking show every time out. I don't give a fuck how many times they wrestle, so don't fucking come off like that. And let's be real. Watch the matches individually and tell me that they're all the same. And then, you know, to lie about some other shit because you're completely off. These guys know how to work. So watch that shit. It's going to tear the house down. And by the way, I will be getting this shit on iPay-per-view on Saturday. It's only $5. $4.99 if you don't got the penny. And that's on hybrident.tv. And I will be picking that up for sure. And I hope they don't fuck this stream up because this is my only way to watch this shit. As is many other people who are listening to the show from places as far as Ohio and God knows where else. I have people that listen from overseas. Not always, but they get to it, and maybe they want to watch that shit. Well, it's not going to be live, so hybrident.tv. Yeah, there it is, that promo. Anyway, then you got the World Tag Team Championships on the line. Azrael and Bandito Jr. versus the Runaways for no reason. And they're going to do that again. Yep. And, might I add, the Runaways without Kimberly. Because Kimberly, congrats to her, is on her way over to Japan. So they will be without her assistance at ringside. And you have Azrael and Bandito Jr. defending their titles there. So, That's what that is. You got Drake Younger, a guy who won a 45-minute match, 2 out of 3 falls, with Sami Callihan in Indianapolis to win the Junior Heavyweight Championship. You got him defending first-time defense against none other than former multi-time Junior Heavyweight Champion Black G's. And you know they're going to tear that shit up. You know that shit. And it's reasons like that, and the reasons like the Chris match, the reasons Matt Tremont versus Joker would have been phenomenal. Sure, him and Greg are going to do some shit, but it's reasons like that that I was sold on going. Those second couple matches that they announced, I was in. That was it. And then it just became, there's no fucking way. It's a babysitter. I ain't got it. Oh, the chick that normally would not. She's out. This one's out. It's like, oh, shit. And it came down to just pretty much like yesterday and today of me making the decision that it's not happening. So, I have pay-per-view it is. Masada's got a open challenge for his World Heavyweight Championship as well. So, we'll see what goes on there. Big stuff. So, yeah, that's that. As far as CZW, yes, Brent, it's only $5 on iPay-Per-View. HybridENT.TV, son. That's what it is. And, yeah, man, you know, they'll tear it up. They fucking better. And I think this is their last East Coast. I could be wrong. I'm just reading off of what their website tells me, which changes by the day, as we know. I think this is their last East Coast date before Tournament of Death. They're doing, like, a Prelude to Violence thing, and that's going to be in Ohio. And it's going to be like, Ohio is for killers. Check that out, Brent. You know? Let me get that fucking lineup for you there. I don't know if there's any lineup, but... Oh, wait, no, what do we got here? Oh, there's a Wired TV taping, and that's in Philly. I don't even pay attention to this. Then the Prelude to Violence, Ohio is for Killers, is at Great Miami Event Center, 327 South 2nd Street in Hamilton, Ohio. And that's where that is. It's a doubleheader with Heartland Wrestling Association, and they will be doing that shit. So, you know, afternoon show, night show. CZW will be the night show, the doubleheader, starting at 7:30. They don't have a card up, but it will be up within the next coming week. So check that shit out on June 9th. What I will be checking out on June 23rd for sure, no question about it, is one of my favorite shows of the year, just because it's a whole different experience. It's very, very different vibe, and that's Tournament of Death 11. And June 23rd, DJ's Mama House. That's the shit right there. I'm going to be, you know, Abdullah Kobayashi making his return to the United States up against Matt Tremont, the Bulldozer, you know, and they're going to tear it up. Amongst many other things that will happen that day, it's going to be fucking great. I can't wait. So, yeah, for sure, you know. And Brent in the chat, he's from Ohio, and he's listening, and he may attend that Ohio show. So hopefully I got you guys another, just putting it out there. And that's that. What else do I got? I got a few things to talk about. I know Raw. Fuck a Raw. I don't give a fuck about a Raw. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'd rather talk about Eddie Murphy's Raw than talk about half the shit that goes on fucking Monday Night Raw anymore. You know, it's just insulting. It's you know, fucking Raw. Fucking America's Got Talent starts on Monday. You know? And it's weird. It's weird. I don't even feel right about saying that, but I'm a huge Howard Stern fan. And he's one of the new fucking judges on America's Got Talent, and it starts on fucking Monday, so I'm looking forward to him fucking laying the law down on that shit. I watched it fucking season one when they had that puppet guy, Terry Fader, on. And there he was singing with the fucking puppets. That guy was off the hook. I really didn't give a shit after that. I was good. I was all set. But now, yeah, man. I'm going to see what Howard does. I'm going to watch that shit. You know, the thing I try to add to my fucking TiVo. Hope it doesn't explode. So I'm going to check that shit out for sure. I'll be reviewing that on next week's show. Stay tuned, folks. You know, in case you didn't get enough fucking AGT in your life. I don't fucking know, man. I don't know. What else? Fucking raw. I guess what do I even have to talk about? Let me see. I got fucking notes or something somewhere, I guess. Okay. Jesus Christ. I think I do. That fucking Dictator movie's coming up soon. I don't know about no Avengers, but Dictator movie's coming out soon. I'm going to go check that shit out. I'll let you guys know how that is. The Avengers looks hot, too, but I'm just not into that fucking movie scene, so. But, let me see. Oh, wow, I have, like, barely any notes. Because I watch for on so many segments. Here's the thing, too, like, this week and last week, I really started going, like, hard in the gym, man. Like, I'm a dude that, you know, for those who don't know, is pretty much drinking nightly. And that was my, you know, I was curling beers on a nightly basis. And that was, you know, my regimen. And, you know, come, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you know, went in. And then the next morning, if you like shit, and you didn't really get nothing back at the end of the week. So that was, you know, it was easy to sit back and watch a lot of things and, you know, just sit there and review wrestling and write down wrestling and, you know, talk a bunch of shit about wrestling. So it's cool and it's fun and all that stuff, but it really didn't benefit me at all doing, you know, the lifestyle I was doing. So I've kind of broke it down to, well, now I'm going to go 4 days in the gym, join the gym, Planet Fitness. I know a lot of you big muscle heads hate Planet Fitness. Their weights aren't heavy enough. Well, you know, when I join a fucking gym, and when I get to the point where fucking the gym's weights aren't heavy enough, well, I'll fucking throw a party. Everyone's invited because, shit. You know, I'm just trying to get myself on fucking pace and get myself more physical and really fucking going. You know, the fact that I was always in decent shape no matter what I did with my life kept me away from pushing myself to the next level. But I put myself in a mind state now where I want to push myself to the next level. And sorry if I'm boring anybody with my own banter, but that is what it is. You know what I mean? And I can tell you straight up, like within a week and a half, I could already see results. That's how my body reacts, and that's how hard I'm pushing myself. And I'm not going to fucking stop. So that's bottom line. That's what it is. I've been there, you know. So I'm going to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, take Thursday off for the show, and Friday I'll go and I'll take a week on off. So I'll do 4 days a week. I'll have a few beers during the show. I think I had, you know, 4 beers on the night. And that's all I'm having tonight. No problem. It's like nothing. And then, you know, on the weekend I'll go in a little bit. But then back Mondays, it's fucking work, gym, that whole thing. So I'm doing that. So it's just not as many hours because I'm not coming straight home, you know, hanging out for a minute, doing a few things, then flipping on the TV and starting drinking. You know, I'm going in like an hour and a half in the gym every day before I even, you know, worry about any of that shit. So, I mean, the results are going to be far, far better on my end. So I watched this Raw. I know it's like the longest fucking segue in the world. It sucks. But anyway, I watched this Raw in like many different segments and I actually saw the whole thing. And if I had someone else to talk to, like, I could easily comment on things that they thought or they felt or they seen without a problem. But as far as my notes go, there's like not even a quarter of the show. And then I stopped taking notes and just caught up in another night. So I was way tired at the end of the night when I was trying to go to sleep. But anyway, CM Punk and Laurinaitis started out with their whole banter and they started. Here's the thing, like, they're redoing the CM Punk Laurinaitis feud, but they're making Cena CM Punk. And they're allowing CM Punk to help Cena be CM Punk. Where now they have CM Punk and Cena shooting on Laurinaitis just on behalf of Cena. It's the weirdest, gayest shit I've ever fucking seen, and it's stupid as shit. And honestly, CM Punk's fucking insults and the way he's going and stuff like that is getting real lame, like, all by itself. Like, there's really no, you know, just calling people a toolbox and just, I mean, I don't know. It's losing its fucking luster, I can tell you that much. They're running out of fucking insults. It's probably more limited on what can actually be done. I don't know. But it's not looking great. So they're doing that. And they had Cody in the Big Show, and then Cody leaves with the belt and gets counted out. So the Big Show's still the champion, and then Eve is bitching the Big Show. She's out there telling him to apologize for, like, it's all garbage. I just want to break my shit. Like, I want to break all my shit that makes me watch this shit. The TV, the remote, the DVR. My iPod, so I don't have to listen to other shows to talk about this shit. Like, it's ridiculous. This is shit that makes you get other fucking hobbies. I mean, it's garbage. Anything that is with the Big Show should lead you to do other shit. So, that's that. You know, I mean, if you still had your fucking TV on, you got a good payoff, because Kofi Kingston versus Dolph was a fucking great match. I liked it. It was a fun little match. They did that. I'm just going to skip all the way till fucking, because I have no more notes, but Paul Heyman came out to very little reaction, which is strange, because he's fucking Paul Heyman, and, you know, I mean, they just did a whole fucking show over there in Philly with, you know, over 2,000 people that were upset off of this dude's vision for the sake of the people who were hooked on what he put out, and he came out there and more or less did the thing on Brock, and... Well, there's a lot of discrepancy in whether this is shoot, whether this is work. There's a lot of people who are saying Brock flipped out after the pay-per-view match because Cena was supposed to act like he was really hurt. And then as soon as he thought he was hurt, he got on the mic and started talking about, well, I might just go out, and this is the best way to go out. If I'm going to go out, it's like this, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, no one gave a fuck. And, like, you know, people, even getting him on their side, I mean, Cena had people on his side already anyway, just for the sake of he took a fucking beating off of Brock Lesnar. So you need this half a fucking retirement speech, especially to show up at the fucking Raw the next night. Honestly, if I was Brock Lesnar, a dude that could legitimately beat up all these musclehead idiots in fucking WWE hierarchy, I'd probably maim like 3 or 4 motherfuckers and quit too. So There's rumors or whatever that, you know, he legit flipped out and they're legit, like, have to fucking get rid of him and stuff like that. I don't buy it. I think he'll take time off. When he first signed his deal, it was, like, this many dates. Some shit, like 35 dates a year or some shit like that. So it was clearly not every Raw, every pay-per-view, it wasn't ever planned to be all of everything. He wasn't just going to be go-to guy forever, fucking see me every Monday. Like, you know, they played the whole Brock Lesnar on Monday night, blah, blah, blah. Dude, he was never, ever planned to be the go-to guy every Monday and all of this. It just was not in the cards. It was never planned to fucking happen. So this thing coming about now, I think, is kind of an afterthought on actually what the reality of it is. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll definitely see what happens, but there's a lot of speculation on him and Triple H going on at it at SummerSlam. If that's the case, they have a lot of time to build to it. Taking him off of TV is going to make people really fucking hunger for the dude or whatever. No homo. And, you know, they can build it up to that, no problem with him off TV. Paul Heyman working the mic work. It's honestly always a smart decision to bring Paul Heyman into a company, so why not? So I don't see it as a bad thing. I like watching Brock Lesnar just dissect people, and just knowing that he could legit shoot on anybody in the ring and more or less kill him is pretty entertaining to me. Because, you know, guys like John Cena need their head caved in every once in a while instead of just being a fucking a big muscle bound puppet on TV every week. Like, yeah, I mean, step up and be an athlete every once in a while. It couldn't hurt getting the respect of people who actually like wrestling. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Whatever. Did the Lord Tensei, CM Punk, that whole thing in the end. You know, I mean, what can you say? It's, I like the Tensei shit. I really do. So I'm like the minority in this. I really need like a, I want to start a Lord Tensei fan club because I feel like I'm fighting the current every time I say something good about him. I'll listen to like three other shows and they'll all be like, they need to get rid of this guy. All I see is Albert. Fuck him. I don't, what is he doing anyway? He's not Japanese. Who gives a shit about him? Like, I'm like, dude, he's playing his fucking part. The WWE needs monsters. He's playing his fucking part. Who doesn't believe that? And you can put up whatever the fuck you want. You can say whatever you want. He doesn't look like a badass. He doesn't look like a badass. If you fucking woke up and the dude was standing at the fucking foot of your bed sweating and fucking gritting his teeth, you wouldn't fucking wake up like, oh, fuck. Like, seriously, like, let's be real. Like, that guy is fucking, he's got to be at least 300 pounds. Like, and not, like, just all fat. Like, that dude does not fucking look like a badass anything to you at all. Nobody sees that shit. Nobody sees that as a possible, oh, fuck, that might be a guy that could hurt somebody. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand what your fucking problem is. Like, if you just think fucking Batista was just the baddest shit out, like, the dude was a fucking robot in the ring. He couldn't fucking work. He'd used himself beyond fucking recognition. If you look at him now, you could tell that he's off the shit or was temporarily off the shit. He lost almost half his fucking weight. And, you know, okay, that was everybody's hero. That was a badass because he's, you know, he put gel in his hair and he fucking was on the gas. So that's the guy I'm fucking scared of. The Animal Batista. Or, get the fuck out of here. You know? I don't know. What the fuck is Brent telling me? You would eat about 30 rounds of buffets. Brent's more or less telling me that he would shoot him if he was, you know, in his room in the middle of the night. But, you know, whatever. But you wouldn't do that to somebody that wasn't scary. You'd be like, hey, get the fuck out. What are you doing in here? You'd fucking throw your pillow at him and he'd duck under the bed. Like, get out of here. So, anyway, that's Raw. It's the weakest fucking Raw rundown I can fucking give you. What else? Other TV shows. Listen, I've been really into these fucking repo shows lately. I think I've gone through all of them. Here's the ones I like. Well, no. I do not like Operation Repo. I think that shit sucks. There's like a fat bitch with spikes coming out her face. I don't give a fuck about them. Like, they, I don't give a fuck about that shit. That was actually the last one I watched. After being really into the Lizard Lick and then the South Beach Toe John, and the third one I watched, I'm like, good, yeah, another one. Yeah, this is actually getting more press than the other ones. And I watched it, and I was like, ah, this is way too staged, way too, this is bullshit. So, Lizard Lick was the first one I got into. And these country motherfuckers, man, I don't know, they from Carolina or one of the motherfuckers over there. And, the breakdown on the shit there is Ronnie's a bitch. He's a big-ass dude. He's got the, you know, Brian fucking Bosworth haircut and shit. And, but he's a bitch. Like, he just toes the shit off and yells catchphrases at people. And he says some of the funniest shit on the show. But Bobby's a badass, man. He's just a big, stupid redneck, man. And he's just like, hey, fucking, this motherfucker comes in and just, like, belly-to-belly suplexes dudes on their fucking ass. I mean, again, I've said it before. If this show has worked, I don't care. He's still picking people up and dropping them in awkward fucking positions, dude. He's throwing people around, like, fucking spiking them on the hood of their car and, like, just throwing these motherfuckers in the lake and shit. Like, he's fucking people up. And, So that was the first one to get across with me. I thought that shit was funny as fuck. So I watched that shit. Then I watched South Beach Toe and shit. And them motherfuckers is crazy, too. They got some bitch, Bernice or some shit. She ripped the fucking car door off the hinges. She punched this other white dude in the face that, they called her a bitch. And he kind of, like, barely kind of pushed her. And she, like, turned around, handed dude her sunglasses, and just dropped this motherfucker, like, smacked shit out of him. And, I mean, that shit is entertaining as fuck to me. So I check out those two. I'm all set on the Operation Repo. I don't need that. I'll stick to two Repo shows. But those two are funny as fuck to me. They do a lot of crazy ass shit. Like I said, I mean, even if it's all at work, they do a good job of putting it on, and people actually get thrown around, like stuntmen or not. I mean, you see motherfuckers get thrown on the ground, on the street, on everything else. So I'm all good with it. Another one I thought was funny as fuck, I think I should do a Repo, but they got some Money from Strangers shit on MTV. I think it's on MTV. And they put like a mic him off or a headset on, earbud, headset, whatever fuck you want to call it, in people's ear. And they send them into stores and just tell them to do shit. Like, yo, just walk up to the counter where the fucking store people at and just squeeze the juice and shit. Just squeeze that shit all over. And they say a bunch of funny shit and start yelling shit in the store. And sometimes the cops come. So, I mean, I laugh my ass off to that shit, too. So, I check that shit out, too. Just a random, just a ramble about shit. Oh, fuck. PWS put on their show last week. Seemed to go pretty well. From what I heard, they had a good turnout. Fucking Matt Hardy, fucking Teddy Hart. Teddy Hart with the fucking cats, man. First off, this motherfucker need to stop with the cats. He straight up. Like, he's getting on my motherfucking nerves. He's holding the fucking cat upside down. Like, every time you see a picture with Teddy with the fucking cat, the dude's back legs are above his fucking head. And if anybody knows about fucking cats, it's me. I ain't a motherfucking wrestler, but I can tell you about cats. And I know fucking Teddy Hart has no business breeding, fucking handling, or fucking transporting cats to fucking wrestling shows in another country in order to walk out in a ring and try to look cute. I mean, this is a guy that walks out to the fucking ring in oven mitt pants and shit. There's no reason in hell that he should be fucking walking out there with a fucking cat to get himself over. Like, dude, what the fuck is your problem? Like, the shit don't make no goddamn sense. Like, you're using animals to get yourself over. Like, you might as well be Barnum and Bailey and just start, like, whipping fucking elephants in the armpit and shit. So you can be like, look at me, I train elephants. See how I grab it with a hook in its tear ducts? That means it respects me. Like, go fuck yourself, dude. My cat does moonsaults. You're a jerk-off, all right? Your fucking cat does moonsaults. Your fucking mother does moonsaults. Get the fuck out of here. The fuck you talking about? You know? There's people who fucking train and are just fucking wrestlers, and they don't need to show up with fucking props. They don't need to be Carrot Top and drag a trunk out to the fucking ring and start making jokes and bringing fucking animals with them and being doing stupid pet tricks. I mean, because the thing, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm someone who really loves wrestling. I know what it is to do it because, you know, I trained at it. And, yeah, I didn't train enough to it to the point where, yeah, I'm a wrestler. I'm definitely a wrestler. I'm not as good as nothing, man. I've only done enough of it to respect it and understand that all the work that the people put into it is legit. And it's some shit that, you know, the people who just watch it casually and have never stepped in a ring and who's never trained to do it will never understand that the pain and the hard work that these guys go through. So I do respect wrestling on every aspect of that side of things. I also am an animal lover where, you know, I work fucking 6 days a week in an animal shelter for the past 11 years. You know what I mean? 6 days a week. So, and I know what fucking animals go through. We see a million fucking cruelty cases. We see a million different things going on. Motherfuckers doing the wrong shit just for their own fucking purposes. And then when they're done doing their little gimmick, they abandon that shit and they fucking move on to some other shit. And a bunch of animals die and shit gets left without homes and irresponsible breeders just leave a bunch of inbred shit behind and other people got to pick up their fucking pieces. Other people got to clean up the scraps of that shit because they're not responsible enough, and they don't give a fuck. It's all a phase. It's all some shit that they went through, some shit that they just decided, this will work for me right now. Not for the animal, not for this is a good idea, this is the right thing to do. Don't become a Persian rescue and find homes for motherfuckers who ain't got homes. I'm going to breed them so the cats can do swantons. Like, this dude legitimately went on a fucking interview a couple weeks ago and said, my cat does swantons off the bed, you know. My dog does a better leg drop than Hulk Hogan. What the fuck can you do to a dog to make it do a leg drop? My dog is retarded. This bitch, I let her out in the morning. She sprints across the yard. She hates squirrels. She runs across the yard where I got my bird feeder at. She runs past the bird feeder. The squirrels are trying to eat on the bottom of the bird feeder, like on the ground where the shit falls. She runs past them. They haul ass over the fence. This motherfucker runs up the fence like a skateboarder and shit. Like them ramps they do, runs up that shit, got enough air to turn around and, like, run back down the fence and then turn around again to bark the motherfucker up in the tree. That much I know can happen. I never seen that little athletic bitch never did a leg drop. And if she ain't doing no fucking leg drop, Teddy's throwing his fucking animals around. There's no way that the dog is just willy-nilly doing a fucking leg drop. Get the fuck out of here. Stop trying to get yourself over with fucking animals, dude. I can't wait to see this motherfucker. Hopefully he's there June 1st and shit when I go to see Muda and all that shit at PWS. So put the cat away, douchebag. You think the cat likes fucking sitting in that little fucking pet carrier shit with your fucking shitty gear from fucking Canada to here for you to fucking turn up at the ring to the ring with a cat upside down before you stuff it in there? No fucking cat. I'll tell you straight up another thing. No cat likes fucking applause. I don't give a fuck. The bravest cat in the world, if you make the most fucking noise, the motherfucker's hair goes up. They're fucking, they spread their legs out like, oh, fuck. I mean, you can see the pictures that Teddy took with the cat. The cat's upside down. He ain't even got legs to brace itself because the motherfucker's upside down. His eyes are as big as shit. I know Persian's eyes are big and all that. I have one. But this dude's wrong as shit for that dumb shit. He should just start out with his trampolines and his let's raise up the turnbuckles when people put in a text code and do that type of shit. Because once you start touching the animal shit, dude, you're really looking to, you know, fuck with a whole other genre of people. You know, I'm not connected to any animal rights people or anything like that, but you're really looking to talk to some of them people. And it's funny because Teddy, like, went in that interview. I'm going to clip a bunch of shit from this because it's going to continue to go on. And now that he's resurged in the fucking United States. You know how many people just wanted Teddy Hart back in fucking wrestling and him not no-showing shows? Somehow he turns that into, I'm coming back to the States with animals. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? You don't need extra shit. You don't need to bring, like, a new fucking gimmick or a new... Like, this dude thinks he needs to go on the fucking Home Shopping Network and sell some new shit in order to fucking reinvent himself. Like, stop no-showing shows. You would have never stopped getting booked in the U.S. if you weren't a douchebag on half the fucking places you went. You know what I mean? You pissed off half the fucking locker room, got your shit thrown out of mad fucking locker rooms for being a douche to just try to get himself over, regardless of other people's pushes or whatever the script was. And then on top of that, no-showed shit when there were people fucking dying to see Teddy Hart. So I think if you got rid of all the animal shit and just treated yourself like a professional, you would have been in the WWE a long time ago. You said it yourself in all your shoots how fucking, you know, you had your chance. And motherfuckers told you, like, yeah, come back when you act a little older. And he's like, fucking like 10 years later, he's on a shoot interview going, I'm older now. Where's my fucking phone call? Anyway, I'm teaching a cat how to do a fucking swanton. Like, how do you sound? Can you record your shit and fucking listen to your shit back when you're not on acid or whatever the fuck you do? I mean, come on, man. I don't know what the fuck goes on. That shit don't make no motherfucking sense. So, that's my shit with Teddy. I'm getting really annoyed with this fucking cat thing. Now, all of a sudden, this is his next leap into fucking wrestling. He's having cats in the fucking ring with him. Oh, my God. You just got to understand the travel between there and there. Ain't cool, man. Half these motherfuckers coming from Canada to the U.S. get stuck in fucking customs and sent back home. So the cat enjoys being in the motherfucking luggage rack or the motherfucking, even if it's a carry-on, fucking sitting there like that. Or getting in the underbelly of the fucking plane with no AC or no fucking heat or no, you know. Cats love that shit. Because that's what I do. I don't do backflips. I take care of cats. So you're a fucking hero. I mean, so the people who love cats should really go out there and support Teddy Hart and, you know, carting cats all over the place just to get himself over, you know what I mean? Because the motherfucker has done every fucking thing in the world other than be a professional wrestler. And I stress the word of being professional wrestler because he's done everything but that to get himself over. If he conducted himself like a professional, the world is his, man. He's a talented fucking athlete. He has fucking family who, you know, this guy goes on the other show, man, I really didn't expect to go this long on Teddy Hart, but it irks me. But, you know, he went on this other show and said, yeah, oh, and I noticed my Uncle Brett's on that show. Hopefully, you know, Brett will give me a couple minutes, you know, to maybe to, you know, allow me to bask in some of his wisdom because I haven't talked to him. Shit. Uncle Brett, who you fucking based your name off of, you don't even fucking talk to. And the first time you could say, hey, maybe I'll get a chance to talk to him, is if he just circumstantially just happens to be booked on the same show. So what does that tell you? Well, what does that tell you, man? You're riding on the coattails of a fucking family member with your name who apparently doesn't even fucking talk to you. And then on top of that, you're fucking blessed with athletic talent, but you can't just fucking be professional about it. And then now you want to raise the fucking ring. You want to put fucking springs in the mat. You want to do fucking moon boots. You want to fucking have cats doing moonsaults. What the fuck is wrong with you? That shit don't make no motherfucking sense to me. So, yeah. That's... Oh, and the Briscoes put on a great show last week, from what I heard. Main event being Blackout, Ruckus, Black G's, and Eddie Kingston versus the Briscoes with Papa Briscoe. Yeah, it fucking went all out. I've seen a couple little clips of it. Shit looked off the chain, man. They had Homicide on the card, Delirious, fucking... Who else, man? I lost track of that shit. But they had a great Necro, fucking they did a lot on that card, and it seemed like they really pulled together, you know, a good crowd and good following, and you know, really did some stuff that a lot of people, especially out there in that Maryland, Delaware area, were really, you know, looking to see, and really probably don't get enough of, and hopefully the Briscoes are able to keep doing shows like that, because I really think it was refreshing to a lot of people out there, and I heard nothing but good things about that show and just the experience overall. My dude Paul went out there rocking the Yakuza shirt. Love that dude. Good shit. Oh, and speaking of Yakuza shirts, those are fucking probably, I want to say like a week away from fucking coming to me, and I can't fucking wait because these joints are going to be off the hook, man. I love the first ones. I think I'm going to love these ones even more. And I'm hoping to ship a couple overseas. Death, fucking Melt, Andrew, fucking the three of y'all, represent that shit over the pond. That shit's going to be off the hook, man. I want to see, you know, motherfuckers actually post their shit up, man. I know out of the 30, maybe less than that, I'd say like 28-ish, 29-ish, like shirts that I sent out. I know I don't have that many fucking pictures of people in shirts. And I know nobody paid for shit but me. So I would really like to see more people repping them fucking shirts. Just tag me in the fucking post so we can put them shits up on the Yakuza page and show that motherfuckers actually like me and shit. It would be well appreciated for the money I put out. So that would be that. Like I said, the second ones, probably, you know, at least get people to cover shipping on them. So break even or come somewhere close to, you know, it. At least not getting hugely hurt off that shit. So that's all. But I think everybody will enjoy these next joints, and it should be nice. It should be real, real nice. But hopefully I'll be having a new intro soon if my dude Mitch listens to this. He is most politic and Asian I've ever fucking met in my life. These motherfuckers are supposed to have new technology, and he's the smartest fuck. He just politic. He takes forever and ever and ever. I mean, his finished product is the shit. every intro we've ever had was put together by Mr. Anthony Missionary Thomas, and he's phenomenal. You listen to Wrestling Soup over there. Probably still going on right now because they only come on at 10:15, so you can check them out. Check out Yolanda over there, Gimmick Tees. She puts down their shirts like that. Yeah, shout out CCW. You want to watch that shit on Saturday night? HybridENT.TV. Check that shit out. What else? I don't really know. Check out the Miami Heat in the second round of the playoffs, Knicks fans. You know, shit happens. Shit happens all the time if you're a Knicks fan, so you shouldn't be too shocked. I think that's all I got. I don't know if I'm missing anything. I really don't know. I'm kind of lost with this after. So, I'll try to come up with some more shit. I'll think of some shit for next week. And, we'll do it up again. We'll hang out next week. We'll make a day for Thursday. All right? So, I think that's all I got for this week. Sorry if I missed anybody, missed anything. I don't know. What can I do? I'll play this track. Because it's only fitting before I play the outro. And thanks for coming out, everybody. Tell your fucking friends. Have them all listen to this shit. Why not? Does it fucking hurt? No, it doesn't. Does it cost anything? No, it doesn't. Stop being a dick. Have your friends listen to this shit. I want my listeners up. All right? Peace.
Shaolin Shadowboxing. And a Wu-Tang sword style. If what you say is true, the Shaolin and the Wu-Tang could be dangerous. Do you think your Wu-Tang sword can defeat me?
On guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus!
Don't face, catch the blast of a hype verse. My clock burst, leaving a hearse. I did worse, I come rough. Jump like an elephant, son. Your head rush, fly like Egyptian money. Aw, shit, this ain't Clint, fought the Wixen. However, I mastered a trick to slight nation. Causing terror, quick damage, your whole era. Hard rosters, like the fuck up a found shot. The yellow style, hazardous, cause I wrecked it, dangerous. I blow spots like Waco, Texas. I watch my back like I'm locked down. Hardcore hitting sound, watch me act wrong and tear down. A literate tight asshole, songs going gold, no doubt. And you'll watch it, corny niggas fall. Yeah, they faking all that. Carry a gas, but your mind plan, rolling like 40 max. Now you act convinced, I guess it makes sense. Wu Tang, yo, represent. I wait for one to act up. Now I got him backed up. Gun to his neck now, react what? And that's one in the chamber. Wu Tang banger, 36,000.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus. Bring the motherfucking ruckus. Bring the motherfucking ruckus. Bring the motherfucking ruckus.
Flick bitches. I roll with groups of ghetto bastards with biscuits. Check it, my method on the microphone's banging. Wu-Tang slang, I leave your headpiece hanging. Bust this, I'm kicking like the girl out for justice. The roughness, death, the rudeness. Fuck it, rap up, I'm verbally assault with a gun. Murder one, my sound shots you not like a stun gun. I'm hectic, I'm wretched with the quickness. Say it on the microphone, the competition get blown. Why this nasty ass nigga with my nigga, the RZA. Charged like a bull and got pulled like a trigger. So bad, scaring up the bad with the gold cap crab. I scream on your ass like your dad, bring it all.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus. Bring the motherfucking ruckus.
I'm more rugged than slave man boots, new recruits. I'm fucking up MC troops. I break loose and trample shit while I stomp. A mud hole in that ass, cause I'm straight out the swamp. Creeping up on sight, now it's bright night. My Wu-Tang slang is mad fucking dangerous and more deadly than the stroke of an axe. Chopping through your back, giving bystanders heart attacks. Niggas trying to flex, tell me who is them. I blow up this fucking prism, make it a vicious act of terrorism. You wanna bring it, so fuck it. Come on and bring the ruckus, then I provoke niggas to kick buckets. I'm wetting
taint crushing roulette. Slip up, you get fucked like you said. Bring the fucking ruckus.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus. Bring the motherfucking ruckus.
On guard, I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.